Welcome to the Empowered Homes Podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to be a resource to connect church and home by growing strong families.
Marriage. Man, some days are so great and some days are really, really hard. But together, for better or worse, is what we said in our vows. And today on the show, we talked to Jeff and Sarah Walton. They wrote a book. It's called Together Through the Storms. They talk financial loss, chronic illness, children with special needs, physical pain, and so much more. Just how do you go through life married and go through so much, so many storms? And so we talk about that. It's an honest, open conversation of what we do or what we should do when the storms hit. And it's really encouraging. Also encourage you to check out the book. It's really good too. So if you want more information about any resources for your marriage to grow a strong marriage, you can find those at empoweredhomes.org.
All right. Welcome to the Empowered Homes Podcast. I am on with Maggie. Hi, Maggie.
Hey.
Maggie, we have some special guests. We have some really unique and awesome people that are giving us some time today. They just they wrote a book. It's called Together Through the Storms. This is Jeff and Sarah Walton. Jeff and Sarah, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, on. Thank you.
Man, we're really super excited, and you know, got the opportunity to see your book and the title itself. Together Through the Storms. We're kind of in the middle of a storm right now.
Yes, we are.
And it's so fitting. So we're just so thankful for you guys giving us some time. But before we jump into, you know, all the ins and outs of your wisdom and expertise, would love to, who are you? If no one's ever heard Jeff and Sarah Walton, who are you?
Well, we're really nobodies, but but the Lord has given us the ability to share some of the story He's given us. So I am a stay-at-home mom primarily. We have four kids. Our oldest turns 13 next week, actually, and our youngest is six. We have two boys, two girls. We live in Chicago, and Jeff is actually... you tell them what you usually do.
Usually in healthcare sales. So I've kind of been in that for most of my career. Currently I'm in job transition. So I am one of the many millions of people that are out of work right now and waiting to see where God is going to open that next door for us. So
Yeah. So, you know, this really is never something we imagined that we would be doing. We never, mm-hmm. we didn't get married and say, we want to write a book together someday. But God has done a deep work in us individually and as a couple. And so this was just where He led us. Some of that story, it's a complex, very layered story that has gone on for really probably 13 of the 16 years that we've been married. And so I am not going to delve too deeply into that just for sake of time. But we really were hit, I'd say, when we had been married about 3 years, we had our first child. And we were suddenly thrown into chaos when he was 7 weeks old. He was hospitalized. And long story short, we thought we'd lose him. And anybody who's a new parent knows that will flip your world upside down very, very fast. And so we thought that was the end of it. He ended up being released with really no answers. But progressively, he started having more and more neurological challenges. It started out very behaviorally, so we didn't really know what was going on. But as the years progressed, it turned into an extreme behavioral, neurological disorder that we've really still yet to have a lot of answers for. So that has dominated our lives. It has been devastating to him, to us, to our other kids. And I can't go too much into detail just for even protection, but it's been really, really difficult. And the Lord has held us together, but I don't think either of us ever imagined we could experience something this painful. But then on top of that, really, it was my own chronic health issues got worse throughout the years. Eventually, that led to me being diagnosed with Lyme disease. And all four of our kids actually showed symptoms, various symptoms, that we eventually had them tested. And they also came back positive for Lyme as well. Apparently, I was able to pass it on because it was an active infection. So that was many years, just progressively the trials building. And during that time, actually, Jeff had been on call. Do you want to kind of tell him that?
Yeah, so during that time, I was, for about 9 years, I was in medical device sales as an orthopedic trauma consultant. So I was on call 24/7. And that really took a toll on our family life. As you can just kind of imagine, coming and going, holidays, weekends, you name it, it was just kind of running together. And work became a real challenge because of our home life and kind of the struggle that we had with our oldest and what that put on Sarah. And often that meant that I was walking out the door going to work while she was left bearing a lot of pain and a lot of trying to figure out, you know, both from, you know, I guess a little bit of the restraining of our son and his challenges and some of the verbal as well. And so that took a toll where we were kind of in survival for those years, but it wasn't until after that we really had to start working through some of these things that surfaced. But, you know, a lot of that we do unpack in our book, and just a real quick kind of snippet on that. So the foundation of our book is on the story of Job. And we feel that is really unique because no one's probably really read that in the context of a marriage. but we relate so much to that because we see just the layered effects of his suffering. And ultimately, the story of Job is one long wait of him questioning as to why all this is happening, wrestling with his closest friends and even with his wife, you know, as to what did we do? You know, none of this makes sense. God, who are you? And then you see the dynamic in chapter 1 and 2 between Satan and God, where Satan's whole attempt is trying to prove to Job that you're only following and worshiping God because of what he blesses you with, earthly wealth, you know, and 10 kids and just the richest in the land. So we see such a unique story unpack and so many things that we try and pull out these truths in the context of marriage. So we have 25 different chapters. We keep them pretty short and brief, knowing that as you're going through something, it's hard to pick up a book and dive through really long chapters. And then at the end, we have some reflection questions that we hope you can do either on your own or certainly if your spouse is willing, and then walk through a time of prayer and then some further meditation and some journaling sections. So we want this to be something that can be done alongside of your spouse, or if they're not able to or willing, then just on your own or with a small group setting. So we hope this will be a really encouragement of lifting our eyes above our circumstances and on to the hope we find in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and just really quickly, I think just to tell the readers our heart behind this is just, we never thought that this would be feasible to actually write while all this was going on, but we felt the Lord really clearly calling us to do this now because we wanted to speak to those who are in trials right now. We didn't want to talk from the other side of it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what we did. This is how we made it through. We wanted people to know, look, this is really hard right now for us too. We've actually this week, the last 2 days have probably been some of the hardest 2 days we've gone through in a long time. So our story's not over. Our challenges are not over. But we want to hold up high how faithful God has been through it all. And so that people can take whatever circumstances they're going through, even if they're very different than ours, and say, wow, if God has been faithful in that, I have to believe he'll be faithful in this as well for me. And we just want to keep putting those truths in front of people in all the various ways that we have our marriage affected and just the trials we face in life.
Wow. And I know in the book you get way more into the details of those storms and those trials. But, you know, I can't help but think of you guys, and even asking this question may be ripping some band-aids off, but also just the marriages right now that are in the middle of a storm, they're struggling. Like, what did, you know, in each storm or each trial, like, what did that look like for the stress on your marriage, on just the communication and the, like, please help us understand how do we navigate through, you know, those stressful times and the impact it has on our marriage?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I would say first, I think we've grown in every time a new storm, if you want to say, has hit, that I think we are learning a little bit more and more as that comes. And I think when something really hard first enters your life, you're somewhat almost in shock by it. You don't really often prepare for these things. Like, okay, when something really bad happens, this is how we're going to respond. We need to make sure we discuss this. And you don't really think about that. You imagine things are going to go the way you plan them to. And so often we're caught off guard when something really hard happens. And what naturally happens is we both somewhat retreat to our own sides of however it impacts us differently. Maybe we go into survival mode and we just kind of press into it because we have to. But if we're not being intentional about how we're responding in that together, the natural trajectory somewhat is to either turn against each other in it because we're both feeling the stress, or to just somewhat lose connection with each other because we're both consumed with our own way of processing what's hard. Hmm. So I think what we really encourage couples is, first of all, when something is hitting your lives, acknowledge what's hard. Acknowledge it to each other. Just get it out in the room and say, look, this is really, really difficult. I am feeling confused by this. I'm struggling with this. I don't understand it. Sharing with each other, even just letting each other into how the grief is hitting you, how you're processing what's happening, can do an amazing work of unifying you together rather than you both kind of going your separate routes. And it protects you from taking out the pain or the confusion you're feeling out on your spouse, which is just very easy to do. I mean, think about what's going on right now. Everybody's isolated. We're all being affected somehow. And I think because we're the only two adults in the house, it's very easy for my stress to get to build and for me to take that out on Jeff because he's the one that's there. Or he might take the fact that he hasn't found a job yet. He may be feeling that stress and we can naturally lash out at each other in that. So communicating through that is so important.
Yeah, and I think if there is situations, because we realize every marriage is going to be different and there's marriages that are one spouse is a believer and the other is not. So if there's, depending on the topic too, if there is a situation where you can't feel the communication is just not there to take these freely to your spouse, then we need to really make sure that, well, first and foremost, no matter what the situation is, we're taking these to Christ. And so what Sarah just said, where we need to share kind of our feelings and what we're struggling with and our pain, that's exactly what Christ wants us to do. And so that process of biblical lamenting, and we see that beautifully throughout Job of what that looks like, and that real raw wrestling of emotion and questions that we can't make sense of our current situation. We need that to frame up that God wants to hear that. And then that needs to be the process of bringing us back to looking at his promises and the character of God that we know, and come back to trusting in who he is. Because if we just complain and if we just talk just to our friends, then really we're just going to be in a spiral where we're not getting back to fixing our eyes on Christ. And that's where it can become dangerous. So we have to have kind of that balance of going to Christ. And then as Sarah said, it's so key when and willing, hopefully your spouse is willing to have those conversations too, to share and get that out in the open.
So just thinking about that, it's so powerful to, you're allowed to have feelings, just that statement, you're allowed to feel it, whatever the feeling mm-hmm. is. Of giving freedom and communicating to your spouse, like it's okay for you to feel whatever it is. It could be, you know, in the middle of sorrow, I'm sure there were times where you felt joy, but you weren't sure if you could feel that joy. You know, it's like, are we allowed to? Yes. And I think that's such a huge point for those in the storm of, especially couples, to give space for those feelings. Jeff, just for you, because I'm a guy, I can't really speak as a woman, maybe Maggie can, but as a guy, you know, we kind of get this reputation where we bottle things up and we're just kind of cold and callous. Like in the middle of those storms, how are you, I guess just give us a peek into how you led your family through everything and, you know, your emotional state, your feelings, all of those things. Like how was it for you?
Yeah, and that's something I certainly have not done well all the time. And it's something that I'm still growing in. So, you know, for a lot of the times when things hit me, I process things probably internally more than comparing it to Sarah, where she would want to talk things out. And so understanding that we do grieve and process differently. I think a lot for me, I will try and journal that out and write that in a form of prayer to God and want those to be markers that now I go back to and I look at some of these, and it's amazing to see again, just and encouraged by things from months ago or even from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and to see what was going on in my heart. And now looking retrospectively back at that to see God's faithfulness. So I think that's one thing that I would just encourage of, excuse me, if it's not even just directly feeling comfortable of communicating that, verbalizing that, but let's at least start with writing something down. If that's not something you're able to do, maybe even with your spouse, or even pray audibly if it is easier to write. And so just the simple thing of just saying, you know, Lord, help me. Let's just start that conversation, and let's not put up the boundaries that, you know, God is someone that is closed off. He'll be angry if I come to him with my true feelings and my frustrations of why he's allowing this. But remember that God knows what's on our heart. God has those before they even hit our mind. And so I think it's comforting to know again that that is something that is the greatest gift that I have been learning over the last couple of years, is how to lament. And look at Job, look at the Psalms, look at Lamentations, and so many godly biblical characters give us models for this. And it's really, when you look at some of the language that they use, it's shocking. But yet we see the heart in it, and that's the key. Their heart is ultimately trying to, again, look to Christ and wrestling with who he is. And we need to then allow scripture to lead us back to trusting in him.
Yeah, and can I just pitch something in that I've observed that has been so helpful that I would encourage husbands, is I have been so blessed by seeing Jeff grow and realizing that weakness doesn't mean failure. And he's been able to help our family lead us in that way as he's been humbled through trials. He has more and more been open about his own struggle with it. And even talking to the kids, that just because God's allowing this and I don't know an answer, that doesn't mean it's on me to always figure it out. He's giving us the example of how to run to the Lord, that he is the supplier of wisdom and strength, and that he as the leader doesn't mean he always has to have it together. And actually, that's a blessing to me as his wife, because then I feel I have the freedom to come to him with my own feelings of weakness, and that I'm not in this inferior place because I'm struggling with something. It has actually made it easier for me to share, to see him show some vulnerability as well.
That's so good. I know you sort of touched on this at the beginning of our conversation, and how your job was starting to be affected by what was going on in your family and just some of the decisions around that. Jeff, I would love to hear how you processed through that and how you came to the decision of changing your job because of that. And then on the flip side, Sarah, I would love to hear just some of the thoughts that you had during that whole during that whole time, because I know that that can be tough for both sides. And I also mm-hmm. know that that's something that a lot of our families are unexpectedly facing right now. As we, you know, are looking at a lot of job transitions, job loss, during the quarantine and the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something that it was a process, and God kind of stripping away things in my heart and maybe my priorities. And, you know, I think for men that I wouldn't say I was doing this knowingly, or something that I would say I was trying to just, you know, climb the corporate ladder, and I was trying to do that. But I think there's probably subtle ways that you find your identity in work. And, you know, as I was pouring myself into work, that that was often, you know, out of the house and away from Sarah, mm-hmm. and in and out. And so that reentry in after just going out, and maybe if that was just in a battle with kind of what was going on with our kids and stuff and challenges. And then, you know, I come back 5-6 hours later and then try to re-enter in. My frame of mind is totally different from Sarah's because she hasn't left that situation.
Sure.
And I have been maybe, you know, had a great successful work experience and come back and I turn the page and compartmentalize that. And so there was a lot of things that our communication was probably poor at times, of me even bringing that back up of let's deal with this. And like I said earlier, a lot of it was we're in survival mode. And so ultimately some of these things we were just too exhausted to even look at and address. So a lot got swept underneath the rug for those years. And it wasn't even really until after I left that industry that we were able to now deal with the harsh realities that, boy, we have a real problem at hand here and something that we need to work on in our marriage, and we need to get counseling, and we need to really work through that. But I guess going back to your initial question of leaving that job. So it was a well-paying industry. And when I left that, it was hard from that standpoint to make that decision because it was a huge financial hit to our family. And we left our dream home that we thought we'd grow old in. And ultimately, you know, wherever we were going, we had to drive two cars because I got called whenever, and it was just at a drop of a hat. Then, all right, I'm going to the hospital to work and I'll see you later. And so, you know, that was the challenge. And that's what really wore on me because Sundays were just like any day of the week. And so if I got called before church or even while I was at church, and then I started to see that business was picking up more and more on Sundays, and it tore at me because I was not leading my family and I was not modeling that well, both to Sarah and to our kids, of letting that, you know, kind of be what I wanted our family life to look like. So I think the Lord's starting to strip that away, and just the pain that I was not, that it was bringing on our family and Sarah as well, that I was just not being there as kind of her provider, and really things that I get into in our chapter on leadership of, you know, cherishing, nourishing, and adoring her, and those things that I really have, you know, just started learning in the last probably handful of years of really defining what those look like in a marriage, that I wanted that for our marriage, and that was only the work of the Lord, again, continuing to mold me and shape me into those. So it was a extremely tough decision, but it was at the cost of, do I want to lose my family, or do I need to make this step of faith and change industries and take a 180 and try and get some health back to our family and keep our head above water? So by God's grace, you know, he gave us the strength to make that decision and to be able to walk away from that. But it hasn't been easy because that step of faith a year and a half later meant the company that he led me to, there was a company layoff, and that was my first job loss about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of that layered effect that we deal with. And so that's not easy. And even by walking according to where we feel God leading us doesn't mean that the next step is going to be blessed, but in our sense and mm-hmm. how we look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key, because I look back and I say, I can see now, God has grown me and my faith and my dependence on him, that if things had gone well and we were still living on our last income, then sure, we'd still be going to church and trying to do, you know, obey Christ and all that, but not to the level that we're at now. And so that's the gift in that.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah. Sarah, what about, how are you through that?
Well, that's probably a layered answer as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think for most of those years, I knew what we had signed up for. I knew this was the lifestyle of his work. And I think it was doable when we didn't have kids, and that's kind of how it began. But as the trials got harder and harder, I couldn't help but start to feel somewhat of a sense of abandonment. And I would tell myself over and over and over when he'd walk out the door, I know he'd rather be here. I have to believe he'd rather be here. I know he's not deliberately leaving, but it was often in a situation. There were times when I would be literally physically having to restrain my son or be fearing for my own safety, and he'd walk out the door. And so there was a sense of, am I on my own? Is this, it felt somewhat like I had to have a mindset of a single parent. And it made me question, is there ever going to be a point where he'd choose me? And I really struggled with that. And so over the years, that did start to affect our level of trust in our marriage. It started to build a little bit of resentment that I felt very hurt by him at times, even though most of the time he was doing what he had to be doing. And I knew that. But it became a slippery slope of, at what point is a career taking over what is not honoring to the Lord anymore? And I knew he was wrestling with that too, but it was a hard decision to make. And so I, as hard as those were in our relationship together, I do see how the Lord used those years to really open my eyes to how much he is my provider beyond, more than Jeff. That he is ultimately my comforter. He is the one that sees and knows everything I have experienced, even when Jeff couldn't enter into those. And it really drew me to him in utter dependence, because there were many days I physically didn't think I could make it through the day. I was so ill, but still having to deal with my son and protect my other children and help them deal with the aftermath. So it was not in my own strength. I look back absolutely in awe of what the Lord has carried me through. And yet, it has been such a blessing. I'm so thankful for how God has taken us from some really dark days. And he allowed us both to be so stripped down that we could not lean on each other at all. But the blessing of that is we both really had to cling to the Lord. And we our faith was so put to the test that it was like, do I believe this about what I say I believe? And that is the essence of Job. All of a sudden, do I really love God for who he is or for what he has given me? Mm-hmm. And so I think the pinnacle point, I say this in the book because I feel like it's one of the most important things to say to married couples. Marriage is a blessing, but our goal is not to have a perfect marriage. And so even if, no matter where you are in relationship to your spouse, there's always times where we're like, I wish my spouse could see this. I wish they could change in this way. I wish we could heal or grow in this way. And those are good things if they're in seeking to honor the Lord in that. But it's so important to remember that my relationship with my spouse is dependent on Christ, but it's not the other way around. Our relationship with Christ is not dependent on our spouse. And the gift of that is that regardless of how our spouse is relating to us, or like there was a point where I felt like I needed Jeff to see how deeply I had been hurt, but his eyes just were not opening to what I felt like I needed him to see. Mm-hmm. But it really drove me to dependence on praying, Lord, I need you to open Jeff's eyes to what you see fit and help me to trust you in the ways that may, if you choose not to, help me to believe that you see me and that you grieve with me in these ways. And in your timing, I'm asking you to heal our marriage. And by God's grace, he has in so many ways. But that took the Lord moving. That was not me berating Jeff over and over and over and convincing him to change. I tried that and it didn't work. And so, you know, it's just so important. And I want to give that gift to couples that there's always hope in your marriage as you turn to Christ. It doesn't mean he's going to give you the perfect marriage you're wanting, but he promises to be what you need.
Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, when you, in the middle of these storms, you really leaned into Jesus. And not only did your relationship deepen with him, it deepened with each other. And that's powerful. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. Well, guys, thank you so much for being so open and so vulnerable during this conversation. I know that there's going to be a lot of couples who are really encouraged by hearing this. As we sort of close out our conversation today, we always like to end our time together by giving listeners a practical next step. So a lot of the people listening have just had their lives sort of turned upside down. They're in quarantine or they're just coming out of it. There's job changes. There's, you know, schooling at home, online schooling, everyone in the family at home 24/7 for weeks on end. So life is just looking a lot different for everyone right now.
Right. Yeah.
So what is one thing that you would tell couples to do to strengthen their marriage during this time?
Yeah. Well, there's obviously a lot of things that I think are important. But one thing I would say is, instead of looking at how much is bad right now and how much is so hard and what just doesn't seem like anything good can come from it, and ask the Lord what maybe he may be doing in your life and in your marriage that may be a blessing from him. We may not be able to see it right now, but he doesn't waste anything. So even asking yourselves, what things are is he taking away from us right now that maybe he may be using to grow us in him and grow us together? And then also just very practically, we've talked a lot about right now, it's so important to have a plan together because everything is different. And if you just run into it and think we're going to figure this out, it usually ends up blowing up in your face. So we've realized and learned this the hard way. Be very open about, okay, how can we navigate this together? This is how things look. These are the challenges we're facing right now. How can we navigate it together so that we can support each other through this? How can we be open and share the different ways maybe we're feeling anxiety or stress or the frustrations we're feeling right now that are just different? It will help you unify in what you're facing to just be like, this is something we have that we're going to walk through together. We're not going to always handle it the best. We're going to be grace-filled towards each other. But how can we encourage each other to see what God may be doing that we can praise him for and encourage each other to consistently be in the word right now?
Yeah, I love that. Just that it's not what Sarah said of not looking and waiting and hoping for our comfort to come back with an answer and to resume our normal lives, but pressing into what does God want with us right now. And so it's in that waiting, pursuing God, you know, in his word, pursuing God in prayer, and then continue to be active. Take that next step. Don't just wait, sitting idly for God to plop something in your lap or to give you that next paycheck or to bring a job, but continue to seek him in your waiting.
Man, that's so good. Thank you guys so much for your time. If you're listening, you want more information, togetherthroughthestorms.com is where you can find more information on Jeff and Sarah. Guys, thank you so much.
Yes, it was good to talk with you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Same with us.
Really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the Empowered Homes podcast. For more content and information to connect church and home, please visit empoweredhomes.org.